This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, Irirangi Tumotu, MPR.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future. Today we have with us
Ivan Allott,
Muriel Allott,
Andrew Stevens,
and I'm Stuart Burks. Now, Ivan, could you tell us something about your early life?
Yeah, my early life was mainly in Woodville. There was a period just before that when I was very, very young. My parents lived in, well, I was born in Easton. They moved up to Pahiatua, for a brief period of time and then settled in Woodville. So I was brought up as a child in Woodville, one of five children.
And this was when, probably the 40s?
Oh, that
40s?
Was about 1940, yeah,
yeah.
1940 okay. on, really. And first of all, lived out towards the gorge. Initially, I can't remember any of that. But my brothers and some of my brothers and sisters could remember it, but I couldn't. And then they moved into Ross Street, which runs from the old post office in Woodville down to the railway.
Okay.
We lived in a house down there, which is no longer there. It's gone. it was an old, possibly a 1900s house, type of house with a passage down the middle.
Yeah. Warm, cold?
Cold, drafty. Talk about insulation.
Yeah. High ceilings.
High ceilings.
Was it scrim on the walls then?
Scrim on the walls. The wind blew and the scrim moved.
Okay.
It wasn't warm, it was cold. My three brothers and I all shared one room, which was quite a large room, but we shared one room. My sisters were in another room and my parents were in another room. Yeah. We had one lounge, which was up the front of the house, which was hardly ever used and quite cold anyway. There was no heating in it.
So the lounge was for guests and so on?
Yeah, although I presume it was, although I think normally if guests came, we sat out the back in what was the kitchen dining, called kitchen dining area, which really was a lean-to on the back of the house.
Okay. You had an electric stove and...
No, not originally, gas.
Oh, okay.
Woodville had its own gas plant.
Yeah.
The person that ran that, or the people that ran that, you lived in two houses down the end of Ross Street. We knew most of them. And they used to stoke the fires, and occasionally you would go down. We had a little donkey stove in that part that leaned to at the back. It was called a donkey stove. Yeah. It was a little burnt coal, wood, anything.
Okay. The chimney. So like a pot belly sort of thing, is it?
Yeah, but it was square. Our one was square. Not a pot belly.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. And the chimney went up, so you got a lot of heat off the chimney.
Okay, yeah.
If you put your hand on the chimney, you got a bit...
So was it smoky or all the smoke went outside?
Depending on where the wind was blowing, really. If the wind was blowing the wrong direction, it smoked the house out. and you had to be very careful about that. The best thing to burn in it was coke. Now, the gas works. Once it got the gas out of the coal, ended up with the product, ended up with coke.
Yes.
And if you could get the coke, that was the best stuff to burn in it, because it burned hot.
Yeah.
It heated the water, so we only had hot water whenever the donkey stove was on.
Okay.
There was no hot water otherwise in the house, unless you boiled water on the stove.
And that would all be for baths, not for showers and things?
The donkey's... that heated the water for the bath, hand bath.
Would you have had showers in those days?
No.
No.
No shower, no. Yeah. It was just
indoor toilet?
Yes, there was an indoor toilet, yes.
Was that exceptional then?
I don't know. I never thought of it being exceptional, but it was on the back corner of the house. And it must have been there a long time because it, yeah. when you think, I think of the kind of machinery yeah, it had yeah. in there, the cast iron tank up the top,
yeah,
way up on the wall, and I think there would have been cast iron. You know, yeah. and it actually yeah. had printed on it the maker's name.
Ah, yes, yep. Yeah, I can see that, yeah. yeah. And so there was a sewage works for Woodville? Or
yes, there was a sewage system, that's right, a sewage system. But this tank was up there and you pulled the chain.
Yeah.
And you had to replace the rope every now and again because the rope frayed and the knot fell off the end or something. Yeah.
Did you have a wash house at all? Would you have had a copper in there at all?
Originally, but there was a wash house outside, and the wash house was over, it was under a plum tree kind of thing. The plum tree just was a side, never ever had plums on it. I don't know what I'm not sure what use it was, but never ever, well, might have one or two, but never had plums. Never. but the wash house was out there, but my father was a carpenter. I'm probably going to go off the tangent here, but during the war was man-powered and built the...
Was man-powered meant that he had a reserved occupation, so he wasn't called
up. He had to do what he was told to do kind of thing. And there are... ammunition dump built up in Maka Maka, which is on the way to Paetui. They call it Moka Moka, I think, but it's spelled M-A-K-O. And he was man-powered there, so we never saw him much during the war.
So he was making ammunition?
No. He was building the bunkers. Thing. Him and another man would go from Woodville on a Sunday night down there, and then they'd work all the week, and he'd come home. I think it was Friday night or Saturday morning. He'd come back home, and that went on for quite some time. As far as I was concerned, it seemed to be ages, but I don't quite know how long it was.
Did he talk about it much? Or
No, he didn't really. No. I was a bit young too.
Yeah, you just knew he was away and came back.
He died in 1948, so it was not long after the war he died, and I was only nine then, so I mean, I wasn't very old at all when that happened. So he they pulled down the wash house, you know, kind of thing, with the idea he was going to build a new one on the back of the house, and unfortunately his death intervened. So on to the back of the house, the person, the builder that he used to work for, actually built Mum a wash house on the back of the house. Which was very good of him. I don't think my mum paid for it. I think he footed the bill. He was very good to my, very good really, but he footed the Mum built this wash house on the back of the house.
So what's your impression of Woodville from that time? Was it big or small? Was it a tight community?
I presume it was quite a tight community, really. One of the interesting things I've got in mind is the we had the soldiers coming back from the war overseas, you know. Some of them must have been injured, I presume, and some possibly just coming back after having finished their service, and there was always a big welcome in the hall. It was a Women's Institute hall, and I remember sort of going to those with my mother, and you know, there'd be entertainment from the 2ZA and places like that would come over, and there'd be this big welcome to these people that came back from overseas sort of thing. So that's a memory I've got of.
And you're probably too young for the send-offs, because I suppose they got a big send-off when
I can't remember send-offs, but I can remember the welcome homes. And they seem to be quite often, there'd be, you know, six or seven come home, and then wait for a while and another few would come home.
Now, in terms of history then, because since then there's been New Zealanders going over to... the Korean War, the Vietnam War and stuff. Was there something similar for soldiers under those circumstances?
I wouldn't know, because I'd left Woodville.
Muriel's waving shaking her and saying no.
I wouldn't know that because I left Woodville. The Korean War, though, there would have been. That's right. I can't remember.
I'm just wondering about the feel of it, because I know they say with Vietnam there was back, it was treated quite differently.
What years was that, 60s?
Vietnam was 60s
and early 70s.
No, I'd left there. The Korean War I should remember, but I can't remember that,
But I'm thinking not just Woodville, but in general, I was thinking, because what happened in Woodville with World War II, I've heard similar stories. There was, a school principal in this area. Any ex-pupil going overseas, he'd always go to see them off and things like that.
Oh, okay.
Which was significant.
Yeah, so I didn't know, certainly didn't know about the farewells or anything, but I can remember going to these welcomes.
Did the war have any impression on you then?
I think to the point that my father was in the home, what they called the Home Guard.
Yeah.
And there were sort of stories once on the Saddle Road that, you know, they were going to blow up if anybody came or something. Now, whether it was true or not, I have no idea. But, I mean, when I look at the little bridge that's there at the bottom of Saddle Road, I wonder what effect it really would have had. It might have been better to do the Pahongana one before they got on there. But no, there was always a story that seemed to hang around that the Home Guard had, and there was a cave there or something or other, and that cave was, you know, they were going to.
But so you take it you watched the program Dad's Army from the UK?
Yes, I did.
do you think that's somehow relevant?
Well, one wondered. What was interesting, another interesting side of that was the fact that there was Woodville had a town band, and they also had a Salvation Army band.
Yeah.
And they seemed to combine during that war and kind of form almost a local band kind of thing for the duration of that.
Is that because a lot of the men were away?
I presume so. I would presume that was the reason.
Now you mentioned the Salvation Army. Were you involved with them from young, or was your family?
Yes, my parents were. Yeah, that's how we came to be in Woodville. In a sense, my parents had been. I was born in Leeston because they were stationed in Leeston with the Salvation Army.
So they were working.
And they were in Leeston at that stage. And when I was born, then they were moved up to Pahia Tour.
So you could sort of have a career in the Salvation Army?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
If you were there full time. I mean, I've had a career in the Salvation Army. Okay. Yeah.
So how does that compare with, say, a standard idea of a church?
Very similar to being a minister. Except the Salvation Army, well, we're getting on another subject here. The subject has, the Salvation Army, in a sense, has this problem of, because of its endeavours to try and solve social ills, and a lot of time spent on that, balancing social against the ministry side, the religious side, is a very difficult thing to balance. Now, it's not simple.
Is that because the biggest problems of people who may not have a strong faith?
Even that one. It's just the fact of the two, it's a bit of a dichotomy in the fact that, you know, where does the emphasis go?
And
that becomes something of a problem, because underlying the social work is the fact that there is a Christian base under there that people adhere to, kind of thing, and it's really they're working out their faith, if you like, by doing the social thing. But it grew in a way grew so much.
Yeah.
That you've got this problem of faith and practice.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
which is hard to explain, but it's quite definitely becomes a problem. Yeah.
I think we could get on to I think that's interesting.
Well, that's another story.
But as a child growing up in a Salvation Army family, then did that?
Oh, it was very good. I mean, we went to Sunday school on a regular basis. Our life was involved a great deal in the Salvation Army, and I mean, it was not a dull life. There were social events and picnics and things like that. Go out to a picnic on the back of a truck. You couldn't do that anymore, could you? One of the local carriers in Woodville belonged to the Salvation Army, so it was quite easy to get a truck. So we'd all sit on the back of the truck and boards up along around the side. Often not a board across the end. We'd sit with our backs to the board, kind of thing, or up by the cab if you were lucky enough and you got out of the wind. But you'd go out on this truck kind of thing. And
if you were born a decade or two later, you'd be singing Kumbaya.
That's how you went to picnics and things like that. You couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah.
There was a place, the Salvation Army in Woodville had a Sunday school out at Maharahara, which is in by the Rohini's going up towards Dannevirke, it's about halfway between.
Yeah.
We'd even go out there for things on the back of the truck,
Was it a big crowd?
Yeah. Couldn't have been, because, I mean, the trucks, when I stop and think, I thought it was then.
Yeah.
But when I think about it now, a fair number of people would have been on that truck, but it couldn't
sort of
have been
what,
huge.
10, 20?
Possibly 20.
Yeah. Okay. Mm. And mainly all young school age?
Oh, school age, and there'd be some adults on there. But I can't imagine there'd be more than about it.
Yeah.
We later on, when I was a bit older and I learnt to play an instrument, we used to go out caroling.
Mm.
And we'd go out right out the back of Kumaroa, Hopelands, places like that, on the back of the truck. They'd put seats on the back of the truck.
Oh, yeah.
And then tie them with a rope.
Something that they've never stopped either doing. It's really a great thing to have.
Yeah, and we'd go out go out to, on a Sunday kind of thing, go right out the back of Kumaroa. And have lunch out there kind of thing and then come back.
So at that sort of time was the main sort of organisation for social life through the Salvation Army?
Oh, mainly it was.
Yeah.
Although my mother was involved with other things like Women's Institute. She was involved with the my parents were very involved in horticultural society. My mother, I became the president of the Horticultural Society later on after my dad died.
Despite your plum tree?
Despite the plum tree. They liked their vegetable garden was good, though.
Yeah.
I can remember my dad, I haven't got a lot of memories, that because of my age.
Yeah.
But I can remember having them this big vegetable garden.
That was a big thing in those days, wasn't it?
Big vegetable garden.
Everyone was living in sort of quarter acre sections, or was it larger?
We had a quarter. Now, what were we? Ours was half an acre, I think, because it was a double section, so that'd be two quarters.
Yes.
Yeah, no, it would have been half an acre.
Right.
The garden wouldn't have taken up, possibly took up about an eighth of it. We had hens as well. The garden really kept the family going. My father grew, my mother grew, they both were involved, but they grew all sorts of things. In those days, the school had garden competitions, and my older brother, they would set out how big the garden was going to be and what you had, and they supplied, the education board supplied the seed. And you put in these gardens, and there was a competition, and I know my brother, my oldest brother actually won something in the Hawke's Bay Education Board for his garden.
Now we've got a plant to plate, which is people going into schools and helping them with growing things. But in those days, if it was the schools doing it, were the teachers who focused on that?
I don't know whether the teachers did. It was just a competition, and I think parents kind of, because parents were gardening.
Yes.
It was easy for children to garden.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that's what happened, and I think my love of gardening came from that. Although by the time I got to having the garden, it really wasn't going quite as, I don't think, as with as much emphasis of what it was when my brother did it.
Yeah.
I think both my brothers had gardens, and but they were school gardens, and they had to be this certain size and couldn't be any bigger than that. And then you had two rows of carrots and two rows of beetroot. And what else did they have? I can't remember. Can't remember now, but they had, there were about five things in this garden. Might have been peas even. Could have been two rows of peas or something like that.
So in those days, people grow a lot of what they ate. And you get eggs from your chickens and I suppose meat from the chickens.
Yeah, one of the interesting things at our place was that my father and the mother grew shallots. And they always had a big patch of shallots. And then there'd be this one night where they would have the session kind of thing where they would pickle them all. It was quite an event when they pickled the onions kind of thing. It's very clearly in my mind, you know. And
yeah, so everybody
crying and sort of thing. But no, it was quite a big event.
So also storing and preserving and so on, that was a big...
All that kind of thing. Yeah. Yeah.
What about markets? Would you have had a weekly market?
No. Everything that was in the garden really was eaten by the family. There were parsnips and carrots and, they grew those. I presume there was silver beet, cabbages, all that kind of thing were in the garden.
Yeah. So your diet would have been very seasonal or...?
Yes, it was seasonal. They'd planted currants. Mm. I remember them planting those. And so we had quite a row of currant bushes, two or three rows of currant bushes, gooseberry bushes. And they were grew to produce quite a lot of fruit. Those
gooseberries aren't very common now. At all, are they?
We've tried to grow them here because Muriel likes gooseberries, but we've not been successful. No.
There's the place out at Longburn just before Christmas when they're open for picking. They have some gooseberries.
They tell me gooseberries need a bit of cold. Woodville had plenty of it, but for some reason. And that might have been the reason. But here, we tried to grow gooseberries and we just not very successful at all, so we gave up.
Okay.
So
what was school like? Was that something that you enjoyed?
Well, school was interesting, yes. One of the interesting things is that the people I started school with, we still are in contact, a lot of us.
Yeah. They're still local?
No, all over the place. There's a class of, what year was it? Class of 40. But anyway, we actually have had regular reunions, but of course we're all getting old, that's the trouble.
Well, you're what, 83,
on the way to 84.
And you're still in contact with people you were at school five or six?
We still make contact with them. And we have we've had reunions right up until before COVID. Had reunions every few years kind of thing. get together in Taupo of all places, because that's where somebody is that's got a very wonderful house. Very entertaining. Great place.
Is it when you look back then and see how these people's lives have turned out, are there any surprises with that?
It is interesting to see how they've all turned out. It's a whole variety. The place we go to in Taupo, Malcolm's, Malcolm started, I gather, left school, and basically his father was a plumber. I think he ended up he went into the fire service, but he ended up in insurance, seemingly done quite well. In insurance. And but he's been very, very generous to us. I mean, we've been able to go to his place, and it's just such a wonderful place to go, isn't it, for an event like that. And we're getting smaller in number, as you can well imagine.
I was going to say how many gather
And you see, a number of us would have started school pretty well the same time, that is still going.
Must say something for your life at Woodville.
I think it most probably did. Most probably did. I can remember going into primers. Better not mention the name of the lit teacher, although everybody in my class will know. And mainly because she had a habit of, if you didn't quite do what she wanted to do, she grabbed the fingers of your hand and smacked the back of your hand. Now, when you're five, it's not very it's not very pleasant.
It's a bit different these days.
I can remember one day I must have done something to annoy her, because she put me out the door into the passage. I decided it was time to go home, so and I've been thinking lately, must have caused a bit of chaos.
Lost a child.
When she went out to find and I would have only been five. We didn't live far from school. I don't know how far it would be, about 400 yards possibly. It's hard to tell, because as a child it seemed like a long distance, but
but you just walked to school each
day. We walked to school every day, and broke the ice in the puddles as we went in the winter, and that kind of thing. We walked every day. Went home for lunch most days. Very seldom ever had lunch at school. We went home for lunch and back to school again for the afternoon.
This is part one of three. Listen next week for part two.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.mpr.nz/donate.